Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhyalila chapter 1. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, text 109. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, reading from verse 120. Katyaschit paya pakasya vishrambar kalilena gangadas panditergar. Returning to partial external consciousness, Vishwambar went to the house of Gangadas Pandit. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobis Stam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadanti Ikam Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayebhya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Moscow. I have a little audience today here too. That's my brand, greetings too. So wherever I am, it's greetings from Moscow. I'm at Shanti Shanti, where I have the best quarters of any place I stay. Beautiful place. Yeah, let me just begin. You know, I just came from Vrindavan and of course, feeling the separation. It was so amazing in Vrindavan. Just the last 4 or 5 days, I decided to give myself a treat. And I went on Parikram for the last 3-4 days. And some of you know I have a disciple there, Leela Balasini, who's almost famous around the world for her katha on these holy places, and she speaks the local language. So I said, I order you to take me out. And we went just with 3-4 people. And we went to places that maybe, well, the first day we went to Jawit, which was the place where Radharani lived for when she got married to Abhimanyu. So that was really nice. And then we walked towards Terkadamba. That's on the way to Nandagram. And that, you did that, that beautiful field, and you meet these original Brijbasis. And you see these blissful people with their, carrying these, you know, these huge things on their head. And it's always the women. The original culture there has been changed a little bit. And then we went to, and very beautiful. And then we went to Suryakund, where Radharani would go on Sunday, today's Sunday, because her mother-in-law wanted her to worship the sun god for the prosperity. Because the sun in astrology represents the father, represents the husband. You know, so you worship the sun for this prosperity of the wife of her husband. And there's an incredible Leela there. But this is what I'm going to tell you. It was such a, and then after that, we went to Mukherjee, which is the village of Radharani's grandmother, Kirti Das' mother, which is such an exquisite, beautiful place. But more than that, going with few people and speaking the language to meet the people, the real Brijbasis that have this Vabhavik again and grow up in an intact culture where they don't have any issues and they can express their bhakti and So it was really good. But I just feel sometimes I share one realization, one experience that was really nice. So we're in Suryakund, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful, beautiful Kund. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. And there's a place there, it's a samadhi, a tomb of like the famous saint of that area from hundreds of years ago. And there's some story about this saint, Madhusudana Babaji, like mystical. So we went in his tomb, and I said, okay, well, we're going to chant japa here. And the japa was very, very powerful. And then I kind of had a realization, you know, and I'm actually going to write about this on my Monday morning greeting. So sometimes you hear about that. Is the chanting was very powerful. And what I felt is without designation. Bhakti is without designation. Sarvapati vinir muktam tatpuratvena nirmala. Rishikena, sevanam bhakta uta. Uta, you don't have a designation. You don't practice spiritual life from your ethnic identity, from your country, from your gender, you know, from your position, from your ashram, from your institution. You know, you don't practice from that level because that's the false ego. In the world, you have to act on those levels. You have to act according to the rules of your gender, of you know, your institution, of your ashram, and you function in that way. But when you practice spiritual life, is Bhuta Shuddhi, and when you do deity worship, the first thing is Naham Vibrocha Nutapatir Vaishnava. I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. You have to be in that consciousness. So I felt when the chanting was getting very powerful, I was coming to that consciousness, you know? And because these designations, they really stick with you. It's not easy to give up your designations and your identities, but they're a blockage to spiritual life. Spiritual life is from the soul. And even Lord Chaitanya's Ishwar Puri's instruction to Lord Chaitanya, the essence, you know, the verse that's the essence of the Bhagavatam is, and I quote this often, evam vrita supriya nama krita, without any inhibition, without any attachment, you chant the holy name. You don't have any of that. So I kind of felt that. I was in that kind of mood. And I really felt, and that's the platform that's free from fear, because that's the platform that is the real you that survives the body. Things done on the other platform end with the body, and therefore things in relationship that you're attached to end with the body. So therefore we're fearful. We're fearful of death. We're fearful of so many things. But I felt like, wow. This makes you fearless because the activity that I'm doing is connected to the real me and in the mood of the real me. And that doesn't end with the body. And I saw with everyone when we were in that little small samadhi that the chanting was very, very, very powerful. And then I made a comment, and I related this, that traditionally in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and it's not a big point, but the philosophical concept behind it is, it doesn't matter if you're a sannyasi, a woman, whoever you are, your bead bag is white. There are no designer bead bags. Renounce, I'm a sannyasi, I got a renounced bead bag, you know? The bead bag is always white because it represents Paramahamsa. It represents beyond designation. So the idea is you may have a designation in this world. It shouldn't be reflected in your spiritual life. It shouldn't be reflected in your spiritual life. Your spiritual life should come right from the soul, right from another identity and platform. Therefore, not this week, But what I'm telling you now, because it's my realization, will be something I write. I don't know how things will come out after I write them. When I be, it may go in any way, you know, it's how writing works when you're writing. But it's the idea I have. And of course, I'm good at branding, so I got a great title, Bhakti and Beadbags. No, no designations. And you know, it's not that you get a saffron bead bag and then, you know, or designer bead bag and you can't be like a devotee. It's you just shouldn't be in the consciousness of that. Anyway, I got a little off-white bead bag after that. I felt inspired to kind of change my bead bag. It's funny how devotees get into different fashions. Now in India, all the Russian devotees, they like to wear gray dhotis. I can't figure it out. It almost looks tamasic. It looks like a satanic cult or something. So anyway, that was my kind of realization. And it's very inspiring, you know, to, you know, try to get to that platform. And to chant from that platform. Now, we're in the Madhya Lila, and one thing I've realized too from people that there are many people that are actually listening to this on podcasts now, but I love the live group. I mean, live means the people that are listening live, not just here live. That's a step, but there are, and a phrase that I made, I saw that many people picked up on it and were meditating on it, that commitment changes consciousness. And I was talking about Lord Chaitanya's initiation. He made a commitment to the spiritual identity, a commitment to the spiritual platform, which is, I follow Krishna, not just my mind and my emotions. I follow Krishna, which includes my mind and emotions, which includes my attachments. I always say that bhakti is, we surrender to the truth. Our desires may be the truth, but not because we desire them, but because they're the truth, and certain desires don't fit the truth. So that kind of commitment that Lord Chaitanya made, it just kind of almost, it almost puts you in the position where the bhakti flows. It doesn't flow in the conception that I'm the center. That's where bhakti doesn't flow, because you don't feel bhakti. Because once you have that sense of ego, it's like putting an umbrella over your soul to the Son of God, which inspires you with bhakti and devotion. So it's removing that. I'm not the center. God is the center. The truth is the center. The Shastra is the center. Represented by the will of Guru. That's the center. So Lord Chaitanya did that, and therefore he was transformed, and he comes back, and the people are astounded. And I mentioned this, so they don't recognize him. And his emotions are very, very deep. Very, very deep. He can barely control them. But people realize that he's genuine, legitimate. It's not, you know, someone in the Krishna Balaram Mandir rolling on the ground because they want to shoot. You know, you see that people, like, they imitate ecstasy, but it comes directly from the platform of ego. You know, I'm the best devotee. I remember I was sitting with this sadhu and someone came up to him and said, Maharaj, I'm chanting 64 rounds every day. And then the sadhu said, that's great, because now I get the benefit of all your work. Because you just ruined it. You can put the whole platform of your spiritual bhajan on the platform of ego. You ruined the whole thing. All of a sudden, all that work, you've done it to yourself rather than Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya's in this platform, and he went out of external consciousness, his devotees were very happy to see his level of devotion. And now he's going to go to the house of his guru. At least they say his teacher, because he was a Sanskrit pandit. And his specialty was Nyaya, logic. And that seems to make you like dry, you know. Logic disturbs a lot of people. A lot of times there's emotional issues. And if you try to be logical, people only become upset. I have that problem sometimes because I'm always logical. People don't want logic, they want emotion. No, really, you could see that. And you see sometimes relationships like that. You don't pick up on it, it's the emotion, right? It's like in political elections, they say it's the economy, stupid. You know, you can make all kinds of things about this or this, but people generally look where, you know, they look at their paycheck. You know, you may make all kinds of issues, but it's the economy, stupid, that, you know, people are just going to look where their paycheck is. Not 100 times. So it's the emotion, stupid. It's not the logic. So Lord Chaitanya had that logic. He was a logician. And a lot of them, they couldn't even recognize he was a devotee. But he had a teacher. And where did he learn this? So now he's going to go to his teacher. And he offers his obeisances at his teacher's feet. There's a culture. You know, cultured people know how to relate. They know how to relate according to the person they are meeting. And it's important because it facilitates each relationship. If you relate inappropriately, you ruin the fruit of the relationship. So, you know, if you're with your teacher and you're not respectful, you lose the benefit of the relationship. And at the same time, it's like that. You know, if you're with a friend and you take your material designation, you know, I'm higher than you in the corporate order of the institution, you'll ruin the relationship. You know, I'm thinking about 25, 30 years ago, practically ISKCON was just a corporation. Your identity was where you were on the pecking order. And that's how people related, because it wasn't a congregation outside. It was just the Sankirtan army of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it was just the corporate relationships. And what I very much appreciated about Tamal Krishnamaraj, even while that was going on, you know, he would shift and invite people for prasadam, where you can have more of the collegial relationship. You don't know. It was really, you know, this guy's senior and advanced and lower and temple commander. And it was practically all corporate in the dealing. Some people never left the corporation because everybody lived in the corporation. But he would take it a little bit outside. So there's appropriate relationships. It's hard to be friends in a corporation. If your friend's your boss, he's not your friend. So you don't want to lose the sense of Gaur Lila, where there's all kinds of relationships. Gaur Lila has to be instituted within any social function, any institution. It has to be Gaur Lila, not just an army. And ISKCON's a corporation, and there's a purpose for it and a reason for it, but there's another aspect, and that's that culture, which really attracts people. So he paid his obeisance at his teacher, who immediately got up with respect and embraced the Lord, because also the teacher understands the teacher can come down to the student, be friends. The student can't go up to the teacher and be friends. The teacher can determine the relationship and determine what the lines are. So Lord Chaitanya is not an ordinary student, so his teacher actually stands up and with respect also and embrace the Lord. His guru said, "Glorious is your life, my dear. You have delivered both your father's and mother's family." So he sees that the teacher understands that now Lord Chaitanya has this incredible bhakti. And that's it. One who becomes a pure devotee, he delivers many, many, many generations. And I've seen it. I've just seen it. The power of someone really committing himself to Krishna and the effect it has on their parents. The effect that it has on their parents. There's many, many stories. I'm thinking right now, because I'm sitting with some Israelites, kind of. And I'm thinking of the story of my godbrother, Javi. And, you know, after the war, a lot of the Jews, they moved different places. And there's communities of Jews in South America, in all the countries. I'm there in Colombia, and our ashram is 10 minutes from Club Shalom. In fact, I'm invited to the wedding of the founder of our ashram, Shyam Sundari, and Ian, with Sri Govinda. And we're going to have a Vedic wedding at Club Shalom. let me just get back to my place. I kind of get off. And so I was talking about Javi. So his father is Jewish. He moved to Venezuela. And as Javi described it, he became the BBC for the Zionists. He was the head of all the Zionists. And when his son became a devotee, he couldn't stand it. And he had the temple bombed. But somehow his son became so dedicated to Krishna consciousness. But, you know, Javi opened up Colombia, booked this. He did so many things, Javi Prabhu, that when his father was dying in Israel and he sent a message to the devotees, Bibishan, they managed to get into the hospital, somehow put, you know, I don't know, Ganga Jal and the intravenous Tulsa, I don't know. But somehow or other, the benefit is immense. My other favorite story is when I was with Dr. Fakir Mohan, and I used to live in Satshrut Marj's house, and that's the, unfortunately, you never live there, but you get a house named after you, which is the worst thing for a sannyasi. You get a house named after you, Bhakti Chaitanya's house, Satshrut Marj's house, Giriraj Swami's house, Indrajit Swami's house. I didn't have a house. I would live in it, but it wouldn't be named after me. So I walked out, and I saw Dr. Fakir Mohan, this great Vaishnav scholar. He says, "Do you know where Bhakti Chaitanya's house is?" I said, "Why?" He said, "I want to meet Parthasarthi." Even though he's such an elevated Vaishnava, he respected all Vaishnavas so much. So I said, "I know." He said, "Well, let's go." So I went in there. We went to see Parthasarthi Maharaj. And we're sitting there. And Parthasarthi Maharaj is very rasika in a legitimate way. He has a deep relationship with Krishna, deep, very deep platform of meditation on Krishna's pastimes. And very... So he says, "Can you sing Mangalacharan?" And Mangalacharan is, I think, an Arisan song that describes the feelings of the gopis' separation with Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. And Dr. Fakir Mohan is a Sangeet Acharya. I mean, so my mother would say, no one would understand this here. Maybe the one person here that I don't understand anybody on the thing. My mother would like the singer called Ethel Merman. That means nothing. And she used to say she could really belt out a tune. That's what my mother said. Ethel Merman, she could really belt out a tune. So Dr. Fakhar Mohan could really belt out a tune. And this is like in such bob, and he sings this song with, like, my God, with the deepest devotion. And then Parthasarathi Goswami says, you know, I'm embarrassed now. You know, you came over to see me, but my mother and my family has come, you know, to see me, you know, and, you know, I'll say it, us Hare Krishnas, you know, when we joined the Hare Krishna movement, we just completely neglected our parents, completely. And then later on, like Radhanath Swami, I think, said, it's like opposite Varnashram, you know, when they're older now, you have to pay attention to them. So he said, you know, I have to see my parents. You know, my sister was 6 years old when I left, and, you know. And he comes from a family of, his father was in the Royal Air Force, and they lived in Oxford. So it's kind of that kind of British culture. So Dr. Fakim, I will also go. I will also go. I will also go. He said, no, you don't have to go. No, I will go. I will go. And we walk in. It's the MVT. And Parthasarathi's mother comes out, kind of pretty much a contrast to my mother, because my mother wouldn't. She was, you know, she was British, and you know, she had curly gray hair, kind of like a simple cloth dress, very dignified. My mother would have been dressed. She wouldn't come out like that. She'd be completely dressed up. But she was very fine lady. We come in, and Dr. Fakhar Mohan pays his dandavada obeisances to her. And Parthasarathi Goswami is just like, it's paying. And then his, you know, his brother comes in, and he pays dandavada obeisances. And his brother says, my God, my, you know, like real British. And then they're there looking. And when he gets up, Parthasarathi says, you know, Dr. Fakhar Mohan, he is chairman of the Department of Sanskrit of, you know, Utkal University. He's like a lifelong Naishnika Brahmacharya, celibate. He's a Sangeetachari. He's a Baba Bhakti. He's excited. Give the whole thing. And then Parthasarathi, then Dr. Fakhar Mohan picks up on it and says, this is our culture. Then he says, no, we feel it. And then he starts quoting from Prahlad Maharaj, the story that when someone becomes a pure devotee, then generations after generations are liberated. They said, if they become liberated, then generations from them become liberated. And so I was thinking of that. So the guru is saying, glorious is your life. You've delivered both your fathers and mother's families. Your students note you only as their teacher. They would not open their books for even Lord Brahma. So it means these teachers are very, the students are very dedicated to him. Now that you return, you should begin teaching from tomorrow. Today, go home. After offering obeisance to his guru, Vishwambar departed, surrounded by his students. He appeared like the moon amidst stars. So you look in the sky. Somehow the moon, there's shining objects, but the moon stands out. Lord Chaitanya stands out because of his qualities. The Lord went to the house of Mukunda Sanjay, where he sat down within the Chandi Mandap. I guess that must be outside. There's some porch or something. Accompanied by his relatives, the most pious Mukunda Sanjay experienced unlimited happiness. So, Anand. That's Anand. Association with God is Anand. Because it, in general, association with the object of relationship is pleasurable. And that's really the real pleasure in the world. Right? I'm talking father and son. See, we are with your son. It's Anand. And then with Jagadish is son Tamal. So he is, really loves his son, loves his family. So he's with his son, who's a good devotee and well-behaved. It's just Anand. There's an energy, fatherly love, that just manifests. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You're just with your son and you're happy. So this is with God. So they're happy because this is the eternal relationship. The others are temporary. So this is like real happiness. They're with God. The Lord embraced Purushottama Sanjaya and drenched his body with tears. Krishna is responsive, Prabhupada says. So it's not just a one-way street. Not that Krishna's in his threefold bending form and everybody's loving him. But he enjoys love, and I make this point, to enjoy love, you have to love the person who's loving you. That's the real pleasure. So that God doesn't care. He loves the people who love him. So he's really, that's when you really enjoy love, when you actually love the person. So, otherwise you have crazy codependent relationships where you only love the person. Where someone loves you, right? But you don't care for them. It's not that much pleasurable. It's exploitive, actually. All the ladies made auspicious sounds, and the house of Mukunda became the abode of supreme happiness. After glancing mercifully on everyone, Mahaprabhu returned to his house. So I've been lecturing on this every day in Vrindavan with a great group of people. It's basically because it's a very down time in Vrindavan. Everybody's in Mayapur, and who's not in Mayapur is in Rishikesh. And God bless Indradumna Swami. His assistant is sending me the videos of unbelievable. He's got this huge place, and it's Indradumna Swami, how beautiful he made it. And it's He bought 3,000 saris. Every lady that comes in gets a sari, and he's got his face painters, and Madhava and Badahari and Akinchana Krishna, and the kirtans are amazing. And then the most incredible prasad, these people are getting it for free. And there's videos of them, and B.B. Govinda Swami, and Indradumna serving, and then these beautiful girls and his devotees, charming. It's just such an effect that the people make on them. So, anyway, everyone's either there or that's or Mayapur. So Vrindavan is relatively quiet, and that's when the beauty of Vrindavan comes out. The beauty of Vrindavan comes out most when the visitors are not there. Because the visitors, it's beautiful that the people come. But when they come in thousands, they kind of, bring the pizza MVT culture with them. When you're down just to the people that are there, that are the serious. So, my classes weren't that, it was only about six, seven people, but all serious, all Rasik, really enjoying. And the classes got so deep that we were living in Gaur Lila. And when you see Gaur Lila, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in a different way. It's just rasa. The devotees are enjoying their relationship with Lord Chaitanya. Devotees are enjoying their relationship with. One second. I want to take just a 5 minute nap. They're enjoying their relationship with Lord Chaitanya in a way that it's bliss. And when you hear about it, you feel that bliss, and that's what you want. Those are the kind, that's a kind of community relationship that spreads Krishna consciousness. Like that. So Lord Chaitanya mercifully glanced, sharing his love, and then returned to the house. Upon arriving at his house, the Lord sat at the doorstep of the Vishnu temple. Then he sits there and he affectionately says goodbye to the students. Everything is this ras. Everyone who came to greet the Lord was unable to understand his characteristics. They found none of his arrogance that the Lord had previously exhibited. Rather, they found him always in a renounced mood. So until you make that shift of consciousness, there's always a danger of arrogance if you have any qualities. Janma, Aishvar, Shruta, Shribir. Aristocratic birth, Janma, Aishvar, opulence, Shruta, knowledge, Shribir, aristocracy. Because I make this point, the false ego, that desire for superiority, that links you to the body and identifies you with the body, that's always wants to be fed with superiority. So whatever qualities you have, it tends to take. And therefore, the more qualities you have, the more dangerous it is sometimes. You know, unless you have the right guidance to actually see them as Krishnas and meant for Krishna, unless you have training of a teacher that, you know, can instill that humility in you, it's so dangerous. Therefore, Prabhupada, even that, you know, one person came to Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You know, because even humility, anything, we just want to grab it for ourselves. So Lord Chaitanya was beautiful. He was a Brahmin family. He was one of the great logicians, especially in that scholarship. Knowledge is power. You know, you really can get proud. I have more knowledge than people, especially when you learn Sanskrit and that culture, a logician. But they never found him that way anymore. Where previously, before this commitment that changed consciousness, it appeared that he had those things. And of course, it's Acharya Leela. He's showing the example. He's coming to show how to become a devotee. And to do that, he has to show how you're not a devotee, because you have to become one. Mother Sati was unable to understand any of her son's behavior. She simply worshiped the Ganges and Lord Vishnu for her son's welfare. So she's got this eternal relationship in Vatsalya, motherly Ras. And the mood, there's a flavor of each relationship. That flavor is called Anugraha. I am your maintainer. Anugraha requires an object of mercy. So the consciousness of the mother is the child is in need. That's why Mother Yasoda, when she looked into Krishna's mouth and saw herself in the universes, it ruined her bhav. She said, you know, cover me from this so that again I can see you as my son. So she has this mood. And therefore she can understand what her son's behavior. She just was concerned for his welfare. In fact, later on what happened is that Lord Chaitanya kind of blessed his mother that she'd be unconscious during his kirtans, because he would jump up in the air and in ecstasy lose himself and then just crash to the ground. She couldn't tolerate seeing her son. Oh, Krishna, I have no one to protect me. Oh, she prayed, oh, Krishna Chandra, you took away my husband, you took away my son, now I have only this one son left. So imagine how attached she was, because her husband passed away and her other son took sannyas. And Lord Chaitanya will soon also leave home. And the ghat where Lord Chaitanya crossed over the Ganga by boat to leave to Katwa and take sannyas from Keshava Bharti is called Nirdoya. Nirdoya means without mercy. The scene where Mother Sachi wakes up wakes up and understands that Lord Chaitanya is gone. She's standing outside of her house and she's just so depressed. People are coming to the house. She says, take everything, I don't care. Take everything, I don't care. She's like stunned. And the most popular, I forgot what type of kirtan it's called, Padyavali kirtan, I think it's called, where they have these Bengali kirtan groups. Like they're incredible musicians with a lead singer and they sing Leela kirtan. And one of the ones is this, because it's the most moving. So she's so feeling this. And she's praying, oh, Krishna, I have no one to protect me. Please give the benediction that Vishwambhar remains peacefully at home. So she's seeing his ecstasy. Oh, my God. Another one? Another one joining the Krishna movement? Oh, my God. Mother Sachi purposely brought Vishnu Priya and had her sit in front of her son. Although the Lord gazed in her direction, he didn't see her. And now she put the beautiful wife and tried to... Lord Chaitanya was... The Lord constantly recited the verse and cried as he continually implored, Krishna, Kota Krishna, Kota Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? Sometimes he roared in such a way that Vishnu Priya ran away in fear and Sachi became frightened. Due to feelings of separation from Krishna, the Lord could not sleep at night. So attachment means separation. So the greatest love has the greatest feeling of absence, the greatest feeling of sadness, the absence of your love. So Lord Chaitanya has this mood. He would sometimes feel so uncomfortable that he would get up from bed. Sometimes he would lie down and sometimes he would just sit there. So he's restless. And that's what happens when you have strong emotion. The worst time is when you hit your pillow at night. The mind can just go, you're not asleep, and you're just like, he's just... As soon as the Lord saw a materialistic person, he would conceal his internal mood. Every morning, he would go to take bath in the Ganges. Oh my God, what it must have been like in Vrindavan and Mayapur 500 years ago when Lord Chaitanya lived there. And now you walk around India, and everyone, you know, you go on the plane now, it's just, you know, one third of the people have masks on. This is what the world's come to. And in India, it's not just the coronavirus. It's the air is polluted. The winter, they burn plastic. And I think they do something with, they burn the crops or something, which is not the traditional way of doing it, you know. And it creates a pollution. So I'm just thinking, what is this world coming through? You have to move towards the transcendental. The world, I'm thinking of doing one seminar when I go to Colombia called Uncertainty, Conquering Fear in the World of Uncertainty. It's just so uncertain, the world. It's just so uncertain. The world is just so uncertain. It's just... And then this virus just puts everybody on edge. You know, you don't know whether you could go in a public space or, you know, as if there wasn't enough tension in the world. Now you have to live with this. And because it's a materialistic civilization and people are moving further from God. So for that type of civilization to be stable is not actually the benefit of people. So there's always, Krishna's always telling us we're not the controller. To learn detachment and learn a spiritual perspective on life. So you go to the Ganges, you take bath. And when I came to Vrindavan, sometime, the Jamuna wasn't that far from the Pikram path, and you could dive off the cliffs into the crystal clear water. Can't breathe, you can't get, can't bathe in a holy river, can't even bathe in the Jamuna. Anyway, I used to bathe all the time. I used to bathe every day in the Jamuna. I used to go after Mangal Aarti. I used to take a kirtan party. This world is pushing people internal more and more. As soon as the Lord returned from taking bath in the Ganges, his students would assemble. The Lord, one second. One second. Trying to see. One second. I just got to do one thing. Wow, time is flying. I feel really feeling good about this Gorkha talk. Okay. The Lord did not explain anything other than Krishna, so the students could not understand anything. By the students' request, the Lord began to reveal the glories of the Supreme Lord to them. The students opened their books while chanting the names of Hari. The son of Mother Sachu was greatly pleased to hear this. Anyway, that's the next part of the pastime we'll do. And it's very interesting, too, because Lord Chaitanya, now coming back, he makes the Sanskrit grammar where all the grammatical rules are names and pastimes of Krishna. Years ago, we used to teach it in Vrindavan. One of our teachers translated it. And it's amazing because all the short vowels are named Vamana because he was a dwarf, the long vowels are Trivikram because he took three steps and covered the universe. And then you combine them. It's just so ingenious. And in the introduction, he wrote to save people from the babbling desert of Sanskrit grammar. It's so dry. So he wrote Harinam Amrita Vyakaran, the grammar that has the nectar. Vyakaran, Harinam, Amrita, has the nectar of Krishna's names. So, okay, what we're going to do now is, I like it worked out last time. We're going to have people, anybody want to share any point of the class that, that kind of stuck with them. And then after that, we'll have time for a few questions, and then we'll see anybody else like to say. Anybody like to share something that they appreciated in the class?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Lal Govinda.
Hi, Bo. Yeah. Lal, what point?
That bhakti has no designation. It's not on the platform of body. Bodily, material, or social, it's from the level of the soul. When we begin deity worship, naham vipro na cha nara, I am not this, I am not that. I'm a spirit, soul, a servant of a servant. Bhakti is from the level of the soul.
That's good. Thanks. That's an important. Bhakti is from the level of the soul, you remember. That's good. Anybody else remember anything that struck them?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Tiffany.
Tiffany, okay.
I kind of want to follow up on what Lal Govinda just said. Actually, in the quote I remember you saying was that one's designation should not be reflected in spiritual life, and that we should try to get to that platform and chant from there. That was
Yeah,
just, I've been
that's an
meditating on that the whole call.
well, that's good. That was my main realization that people like. I have an audience here, so people like that point that you should chant from the platform of the soul. And it's not easy. It was easy. I wouldn't have felt it so profoundly when I was sitting there chanting. I said, wow, it's not coming from any of these. It's not that it has to come from those designations, but they kind of hover over your consciousness and cover your connection with God sometimes. Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else?
Hari Bol Maharaj.
Yeah.
It's Jumina Jaya. I was loving how you said you can't experience love until you love the person. That was really deep to me, that you can't,
you don't have the full experience of love. And that was my realization, because otherwise we get the image of Krishna in his threefold bending form as some megalomaniac just sitting there with people just waves, you know. But actually, he also loves the people and reciprocates too. Okay, thank you, Junaj Jai. Anybody else?
Hey, okay, Krishna Maharaj. Braja. This is Braja. I just wanted to quickly say that I like when you said that ego is like an umbrella that shades you from the sun. It shades you from bhakti, right? Or shade you from God?
Yeah, the son of God and the son of God's love. Because there's love in relationship. And when you cover your... And I always want an analogy. It's one of the pramanas, the evidences. You present analogies to explain something. And I had that realization when I saw the calf and the cow loving each other. That there's really an energy, and that energy is ultimately between us and God. So why don't we feel it if God's so powerful, right? And the answer is, even if God's powerful, we're not, and something small can cover our perception of the sun, and something small can cover the... Yes, that, I like that point. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Okay. Any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, I do have one, but I do want to also second Jamuna Jaya's appreciation for that point. For me, it's an old one that I've carried for many years that I've heard from you in the past about the fact that, you know, you can't enjoy love unless you also love the person. I love that.
Right.
And also, I feel like it makes... It kind of, how should I say, you know, I don't feel as guilty about wanting to be loved by the person, you know, that I want to love. You know, that I don't feel guilty about feeling self-centered about that, you know?
Right, because it's part of... Right, Bhakti Siddhanta said, don't try to see God, but act in a way that God wants to see us. And that action is that we're an object of his love, and we attract his love. So it's our duty to have God love us, because it increases his pleasure of the love we give him. Okay, Gail, you have one question?
Yeah, you know, I'm referring to when Lord Chaitanya came back from, what was it, Gaya or something? When he met his spiritual master, and he came back a new person. And I think it was, maybe it was last class or something, you said that, you know, his mother, you know, all the devotees were so overjoyed to see the transformation in him. And his mother, too. Why was his mother so happy about this transformation?
I don't remember that part, but I suppose that her son was kind of... You know, you have two cents. Like a mother, she's happy their child is becoming a devotee, but not happy when he becomes a brahmachari. I had that one example in... It was actually kind of it was sad and happy. There's one lady from Iran, and she came to Vrindavan about 40 years ago during the Iraq-Iranian war. And then you know, she was married and she had a young child. And her son, her and her husband were vacationing in the Himalayas, and her husband died of a snake bite. I'd never remember in all my years in India any devotee dying of a snake bite. He died of a snake bite. And she raised his son. And when he became older, it was her only son, her husband died like Lord Chaitanya. And her son became a very fixed up brahmachari, and initially a little bit fanatic. Now he's a little bit better. But it was so hard for her. So she was happy, right, that her son became a devotee, but also unhappy that her son became too much of a devotee. So you can have both feelings.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Maharaj, I actually, you know, when I was, after I appreciated the other realization, and you said that we should act in a way that God wants to see us.
Yeah.
That confused me, actually, because, you know, I was saying that, you know, I'm happy that it's natural for us to want to be loved by the person that we want to love. So when I got thrown off when you said that, well, we have to act in a way that God will want to.
I was just trying to add to your point, but maybe it didn't add to it too much. Otherwise, I never would have said it. I was just thinking that you were saying that, oh, I don't feel guilty, you know, about wanting God to love me. And I was just trying to give an example that it was also good for the service of God. That's all. That's all I was trying to say.
Also good for the service of love. What's good for the service of love?
It's good for the service of God, because if God gets pleasure from loving those who love him, and then you said, I don't feel so guilty now. And I thought what that meant is, I don't feel so guilty because me wanting to love God is actually service of God, because it increases his pleasure when he loves us. So then I gave the example of trying to act in a way that God wants to see us. But I'm just saying that that way is that we have love for him. Okay, Gail. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had enough. I'm finished. Okay, no joking. Okay. A few people say hello, and then we'll end the class today.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, I got Kalachandri and Shadhavili. Is that Mukunda?
Aaron Weintraub Maharaj.
Oh, Aaron, thanks. Nice to skate. Great. Wonderful. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Hemala Tarada.
Wow. Greetings from Moscow to someplace in Argentina, which I can't pronounce, Marta Plata, something like that.
Yes, that was very good, Maharaj.
Okay,
thanks so much
great.
For class.
Anybody, thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna,
Sri Rupa. So I heard Jai Kishori, and who's the second one?
Sri Rupa.
Who?
Sri Rupa. Rupa.
Well, yeah, I know Sri Rupa. Staten Island.
Yes.
Okay, who else? Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharvika.
Oh, great. Okay, great. Okay, one more person.
Hare Krishna Gomaraj, this is Kishori Radha. Priya.
And Tota Gopinath.
Priya. Okay, great. Okay, one more. Who else? Okay, then we'll end for now. Okay. One second.